Stellt euch vor, ihr lasst eure Arbeit, euer Referat oder
Imagine,
als Schülerin,
as a pupil, you have your homework written by ChatGPT. That makes it easier, but it doesn't make it better.
Genauso verhält es sich mit dem Nutzen von KI-Tools für Korrekturen.
Equally, if you use AI tools for grading or planning of your...
Rainer, Philosoph und Mathematiker, ist jetzt Professor für Ethik der KI.
Of your lessons. Rainer is professor for AI at University Osnabrück. Marte is a philosophical PhD candidate in Maastricht.
Einen herzlichen Applaus, bitte.
Let's have a very warm round of applause for them.
Ja, danke schön für das.
Thank you for the friendly introduction. Chatbots in school? Question mark. That's the title of our talk. And we will show you what we have looked at for the last few months. It's AI used by school instructors. There's a correction tool where it promises to grade works done by pupils, and we have looked at it and tinkered with it and looked at the results, and this is what we want to show you today. So let's start with, are any teachers in the room? Grade school, other schools? Oh yeah, there's a few of them. I'm very happy about that. Let's start. You have maybe have seen one of these headlines. The headline says we are working at full capacity. The teachers that are there are almost burned out, and every year you see these kinds of headlines. And since ChatGPT is a thing, AI is often proposed as a solution, such as this article you see here, improve education and relieve the strain on teachers using AI. So the extreme amount of work due to lack of teachers and the increasing diversity in the schoolroom are just some of the tasks that teachers have to deal with. And the solution that is proposed is we can support teachers using AI and cause relief and give them more time to support their pupils. So it looks too good to be true, so we looked at it. So is it relevant? Is it really used at in schools? One of the, this is from the German school portal for the German states. There are three categories, dark green. Six states have a statewide license for AI tools, either something developed by themselves or by external services. And every teacher who works in one of these states has access to some sort of AI tool, can use AI tools for their work in schools. And there's the cyan color, where they have pilot projects, where they are evaluating if they want to use AI tools, and the remaining five, with a pink color, they don't have any license, there's no pilot project, which doesn't mean that nobody in these states uses AI at school, it just means they don't have something on state level. Schools or teachers may have access to their own tools, obviously. And pupils as well. So we are going to focus on teachers and AI tools that are targeted at teachers. So what's available? There's a automatic correction and grading. It looks at the text and it gives you a grade and some feedback. There's a chatbot that you can use as a sparring partner. You can let them prepare texts, chat for them, create letters to the parents. So this is mostly outside of the classroom. And inside the classroom, you have something like individual work material for different levels for the students. And there's obviously chatbots that can imitate different personas to make the lessons more interesting. You can talk to Sophie Scholl about the Second World War instead of reading some text which may be farther away from your interests as a pupil. So this, we are looking at the first one, automatic grading. Why should teachers use that? What do the companies say? Phobis, which I've brought three examples. Phobis is what we are going to talk about later. It's all of you can get it all from one company. You save time. It's easy and secure. So there's Fiete AI, which some of you may know. They are also mentioning relief of stress. You have a better overview what the pupils do, and you may be better organized. And my Thai is also mentioning saving time, get inspiration. It's very easy to use, and data protection is also mentioned. So all of them are promising to say that you save time and are relieved of some stress. And as a teacher, that's obviously what you want to hear. And we've talked to several teachers, and we've often heard that these promises are very promising, and you want to believe them. This is one of the quotes from an interview that we did. It's just an example. Everyone essentially mentioned this. They say, hey, I can tell you I am ready for some vacation. We have had a very, very short school year. Like all of my colleagues, I didn't have one free day, not a free weekend since the final since the final tests have begun, and so they are hoping for relief of some burden. So we are focusing on Phobis, which is the main competitor in the market, and they have the AI grading tool. So it's a company from Hamburg, from the area around here, and it's the most used and in most states available AI platform for teachers. They have licenses with Bremen, Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, Rheinland-Pfalz, Saarland, and Saxony. Three of them have a license. Bremen and Saarland have a cooperation agreement, and they all can access this tool. So what does Phobis say about themselves? They say over 500,000 teachers are using our tools, and more than 7,500 schools. So I can't really relate what that means. How many schools are there? They say in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We assume that most of them are in Germany. The ads are all targeted towards Germany. And Germany has around 30,500 schools, so this would be 20 to 25% of all schools. So that means every fourth school in Germany, the teacher has access to this AI tool. So they are dominating the market. It's mainstream, certainly. So what can I do as a teacher? What can I use it for? I have a chat, I can use ChatGPT, there's the correction support, which we're going to introduce shortly. Feedback for pupils, so this is targeted more against pupils, but this is very new, just for 1 month old. We haven't tested that yet. You can generate pictures, you can generate a podcast, you have the ability to chat to different persons, virtual persons. And how much are they paying for one of these licenses for the whole state. We have asked the the states, and Rheinland-Pfalz says it's 1.75 million euro per year. That sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. Didn't they just this year mention that they have? Oh, so the trainee teachers in Rheinland-Pfalz aren't getting any money during the summer holidays. So they will just have to make do. So this isn't how you improve the teacher as a profession. So instead of giving the money to teachers, they are investing the money in some AI tool. And let's talk, see what Rainer has to say about if that is worthwhile.
Yeah, Martin and I and our team in Osnabrück, since August, we looked at one specific tool of the Phobis company, and that is the tool for automatic evaluation and grading and correction tool. So that gives feedback for text-based submissions by pupils, essays and so on, texts. And it's not for math, it's just for written texts. And we really did a systematic evaluation and summarized it in this study, which we released on the 9th of December as an archive preprint, and it is publicly available under this QR code. And we will show you a summary of the results of this study. What this was about is, as we said, a single of several AI tools by Phobis, and that is specifically this tool. This is the AI correction assistant, which should make teachers' everyday work easier. And we would wanted to find out if it fulfills any quality standards that you could expect when you evaluate pupils' work. So what is it? It's a correction tool. It has this simple interface. It's a front end for ChatGPT in the end. So in the background, it works with OpenAI and GPT-4 and transfers it to that. And this is the interface for the teacher at the first setup for a specific task. You can tell it what the task was that was asked by the pupils, asked from the pupils, and then you can put in what you expected or specific master solution, and you can give it certain evaluation criteria with weights. Phobis says in their advertising videos, Phobis has some explanation videos for that, and it says that it can use arbitrary evaluation criteria. You can just add another criterion, and you can tell it what grading scale should be used. And if you have configured it on the left side for a certain task, then the individual submissions by the pupils, you can put them in on the right here, so that it conforms to all data protection. You use shorthand for the pupil's name and not the full name. It can also detect handwriting and so on. But our main, so the tool produces an output, and this is what the output looks like. It goes down below that, but I just put it into two columns, and we call this the evaluation. And this is the PDF document that is exported, and it always contains a list of errors and a bullet point list of things that were done well and points that were to where there's room for improvement, and then in specific evaluation according to the criteria that the teachers gave the tool. And we used five dimensions here, as you can see here, and then an executive summary in the end with a suggested grade. And we used the percentage scale for our tests because it is the most precise. And this is what is exported from the tool. We tested the tool with some simple example task. Write an evaluation for or against lowering the eligibility age for elections to 14 years and give one argument for and against and write about 150 to 250 words. And we entered an horizon of expectation, so the expected submissions, and we simulated 10 submissions by pupils and had the tool grade each one 5 times. And it looks like a relatively small sample size, and that's right. But what this study is about is a test that if it even fulfills the minimum quality criteria. But what we didn't do was we really concentrated on a certain didactic way to give feedback or how to grade, because there is already quite some controversy in didactic studies. But we really wanted to know if it fulfills some certain minimum of quality to even start didactic discussion. And we really were interested in, is that even robust? So if we have graded 5 times, if it's even stable, and whoever has used ChatGPT might have a suspicion that that is not the case. And you can see here what the result was. We have 6 categories of insufficiency, and we only gave a little, some samples from this. And the first category was the statistical volatility of the suggested grade. On the x-axis here are the 10 simulated submissions by the students. On the y-axis are the grading scale that is used in the German higher grades. And you can see that the 5 runs gave different grades. And for 3 texts, there was more than 1 school note grade difference, and it's really just throwing a dice. So if I really don't like the result, I regenerate it and see if the new result suits me better. And in one case, the grade varied between the best and the worst note, basically, the worst grade. And only 2 out of text, only by 3, it varied more than 1 grade, and only in 2 out of 10, the suggested grade was stable. And this isn't really what you would think about. Nobody would expect this, and you wouldn't expect stressed teachers to do that multiple times, especially by a tool that has been advertised as being more objective than human teachers. So this is really a grave inadequacy for using it, that it's best to use it several times. And it's not only true for the numerical grade, but also for the content summary that the tool creates. And you should read a bit more. This is a bit out of scope here. But if you have it grade the same text several times, it also the textual evaluation is also very different. So for pupils who want to have feedback and want to improve their work, it's really a problem if, at one hand, it says you did everything great or gave a more pessimistic evaluation. So you also have to look at the content, the text evaluation that it gives. And we also found that wrong statements or false statements were not detected in some cases. And we have a screenshot here where one pupil said that the eligibility age for the European elections were 14 years, and that is false, of course, but the tool says that the contents were 90% correct, and so you can't really rely on that. And we also played around with if someone just refuses to work on the task and just writes some nonsense. For example, this is an example where it just tells a story about spending a day with her granny. And the evaluations then were all over the place. And in the first one, it gave it 14, so almost the best grade. And in another run, almost the worst grade. So even the tool can't really handle trolling. That's one thing that we found. And that is something you need to know. What's also very nice is if you wrote a very good text and the tool doesn't really find any errors, but it really wants to find errors, and it never said that any text was submitted that was error-free. And several times we found something like this in this study. There are more screenshots in the study, errors that really aren't any errors. And on the left side and in the corrected version, it says the same thing, but it wasn't really an error. And some of the errors are saying wrong choice of words or typography, and it isn't really an error. And then we thought, we are looking at what happens if these feedback for improvement, if you really take that seriously. And for two of the texts, we made a second test series, and we really called that really driving around wildly. And we really submitted the text to the evaluation tool and used the suggestions for improvement and implemented them. There's this table about errors and with a suggested correction, and we did that and had the tool graded again. And then the new suggestions, then we implemented them as well. And on the x-axis, there are the stages of iteration or the steps. And we found that at a certain point, there you get contradictory suggestions for improvements. For example, it marks errors that aren't errors, or that it goes back and forth, and it says, do it like this, and you do it like this. And in the next one, it says, well, do it like that. And you really end up in a loop, and you go back and forth and oscillate between two semi-stable states that the tool doesn't really evaluate as good. And the tool doesn't accept it now and says, now it's done, it's good. But it really oscillates between two states. And the grades really didn't change monotonically. And the evaluation wasn't really improving monotonically. And on average, if you average about these iterations, then the grade even got worse when you implemented the suggestions. So in the end, we really created some works, some submissions, where there were very few errors found, and these were generated by using ChatGPT to create the texts. And we told ChatGPT, I'm a pupil, this is the task I have, and this is my reply, and please help me to improve it. And in the last iteration step, we did that, and it always gave a 99% grade, so basically perfect. So what this tells pupils is clear, right? So on average, the grade gets worse when you use the suggestions, but only ChatGPT, or at least ChatGPT, will help you reliably to a perfect result.
So we released this in December on archive and on different channels. We also sent it to Phobis. And Phobis reacted on the 17th of December. They reacted in various ways. So when we got in touch with them, so at some point they replied to us and asked for a meeting. And at the same time, we saw that on the interface where you select the AI tools, they added the experimental tag. So it's marked as experimental since then, which we were very happy to see. And what you can also see is that there has been a disclaimer or an explanation, or it was there was a text block added in the red box where they tell you what doesn't work reliably and what doesn't work at all, and this is more or less word by word from our study what we wrote. So this is very good. They reacted quickly and they are giving warnings to the teachers, which should have been done earlier. And we met up with Phobis. I'll be talking about that shortly. But one of the things they said is, well, this tool exists for 1 year, and the prompt was always only half a page long. The prompt, this is based on the system prompt for ChatGPT with all the variables filled in. But now they have a new version with 9.5 pages of prompt. They were kind enough to provide that prompt to us, so they we would have loved to see the old one too, but we looked at the new prompt, and one of the employees noticed something. So there's examples in the prompt. This is how you build a prompt for ChatGPT. We assume there's been just not that many examples in the old prompt. There's now two examples, which looks like this. You can see it on the right-hand side. And on the left-hand side, you can see the assignment that we used during the experiment when we did the 10 sample submissions. So they essentially took our test scenario and put it as the example into the system prompt, in the internal prompt. They worded it a bit more with a bit more words, but you can see blue is word by word identical. So essentially, they expanded the prompt using the test scenario, and we were asked to repeat our tests again against this prompt. So.
Das war unsere Assoziation.
So this is the association we've had. We may not have to talk longer about that. So let's go to the last part. It's very important to stress that during this thing we just only tested the minimal requirements for it to be able to be used. We didn't have to look at the didactic background because the tool is it's just so contradictory, it's so volatile, it's not transparent in the criteria, it doesn't meet the basic requirements. So first of all, it's not really usable in productive use, and in the other way around, once these are fixed, it doesn't mean that the tool is useful for pedagogic use. You would have to look at didactic criteria and see if the feedback is useful in that context. So once these problems we found are fixed, it doesn't make the tool good. We are very skeptical, as you might have noticed. Phobis did tell us when we were meeting, it's only been a tool for 1 year. Teachers were it was one of the most requested features from the tool by teachers. And you have seen it's just one of 30 tools or something, but the company itself says this is the most requested. And they also told us there has not been a systematic evaluation of this tool. And our evaluation has been the most comprehensive of all of the, what they've seen.
Man hat uns ausdrücklich genehmigt.
So they explicitly allowed us to quote them. They were very correct. They were very interested in our results. And we had a very productive meeting, and they are working very hard to appreciate this in some way or another. We weren't really sure if the company is aware of their responsibility they have. They just put this onto the market and then waited for feedback. So once you have state licenses with whole states where every teacher can access it. It's no longer a startup. It's not a technology in early adopter phase where you can just experiment with some users that are interested in this by users who have done it from their own initiative. Once you have access for all the teachers in the state, these tools need to be tested. They need to have a certain standard of safety and quality. And the company apparently did not take care. And that's apparently not the decision by politicians who make these decisions to buy these tools. Apparently that's not. So we believe that at the end, the corporate responsibility or even the feeling of responsibility, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, apparently.
As we have shown with this study, is that most of the limitations are basic limitations. Even a 9.5-page prompt will not get rid of all these shortcomings, and there's probably no quick technical fix for that. And even if there were, we don't think that AI really can solve social problems as the education crisis at schools. And we cannot just give the teachers AI tools and expect everything to improve. So why we think that there is a big difference between what we get from AI and what we need, and what we get is a dependency on companies from German and US companies who want to make a profit, and they really have a big influence on the education, and we really give highly sensitive data to these companies. And as we have shown, if we have to do several gradings, then there's no time saved that the teachers expected. And even if there were, then there would really be more work for the teachers because there are ever fewer teachers. And by advertising AI as the solution, we really delay the political decisions that are required. And so really just fighting the symptoms more or less with AI. And what we really need are more teachers and better conditions for teachers, more investment in the education system, and maybe some AI where it is useful and where we need it. We can use AI, but this task doesn't really be suitable for AI. And we really need political measures to solve this education crisis and not a quick AI fix. And therefore, to get to the end, if you still want to use this tool, then really what you take away from this talk is to do every grading 5 times and look how much it changes and see what is actually your evaluation. And if you want to go on a little bit more, imagine while using it that such systems would be used in decisions about your insurance claims, your court proceedings, and your submissions for grants, for example. And imagine that such AI tools would be used for that. And that is really an approximation of what it means to pupils when you create your grades like this. And our study can be found under this QR code. And thank you very much for your attention. And we have time for some questions and answers.
Gerne Fragen von den Mikrofonen aus dem Auditorium.
Yes, there are microphones. Someone is at the number 4, please. I like to play devil's advocate for a moment. The oscillations, the differences in gradings for one tool that you showed, and how does that compare to if one teacher grades, several teachers grade the same work by a pupil?
weil
Well, it's known that teachers, because they have different backgrounds, they have different educations, they also are responsible for their very own didactic work, they will grade work differently, and it's one of the arguments that's often brought up in this case. So the different grades by the tool aren't worse than what you get from real teachers. First of all, there's a very well-documented thing called, in research, it's called automation bias. So if you have evaluations, gradings, classifications, you will often trust something that's done by a machine more than if it's done by a human. So in case of the human teacher, it's the responsibility of the teacher who will have to stand their own position. But by using this tool, you get something like feels like neutrality, but instead you get the unqualified statistical arbitrariness that you get. So it's not based in didactic concepts. It's not a person who can grade it in a didactic way, so even if it's a bad grade. So it's the illusion of, or the argument that teachers have for maybe very well, based on very good reasons, they have different tastes or they're looking for different things, just comparing that isn't equal. An AI tool doesn't have any competence. It works by generating the most likely next token.
Mikrofon 1, bitte.
Microphone 1, please. Ja, super Vortrag erstmal.
Yes,
vielen Dank.
Thanks for, that was a great talk.
Nachdem wir mit Lehrerinnen gesprochen
and after, since you talked to teachers, did you also talk to them about the tool? Did you meet someone who said, oh yeah, it's a great tool, I've been using it for a year, and the pupils... I put in the work and give it to the pupils, the results then.
Yeah, we didn't have the interviews in this talk. We didn't evaluate them systematically, but we did talk to various teachers. We did also talk to them about the tool. Specifically, we were looking for teachers who had already experimented with the tool, and some people had arguments for, some had against, and everything in between. And it was very interesting to see, but the tendency was that new teachers were more enthusiastic about AI tools because they were younger, and the arguments were also, yes, an AI tool is more objective. This we've heard this very often. The person said, as a teacher, I know the people who handed in this homework, or wrote these works, and I may have a bias, I may have a preference because I know how the person performed over the rest of the school year, or maybe they were very bad behaved during the day, and the AI doesn't know this. Or if you have looked at 28 works already, and then the last five are very stressful, and then maybe you're looking at the texts, it may evolve over your evaluation process. And the AI is freshly motivated every time and creates well-meaning feedback every time. And these were arguments we heard in favor of the tool. But there were other teachers which were more critical. So the grading, the odyssey of grades that it ended up. And if you look at the feedback, it's not very helpful very often. So it looks great at first glance, but if you look at it again, it's maybe not that helpful. Thank you very much. There's still many questions. I will have to ask you to use the contact information given on the slide. Thank you again to the speakers and give them a very warm applause. And this has been the English